You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It is now time for the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of TPC. I never did even give you the dateline tonight. I guess you know it's Saturday, June 9th, if you're listening live. And if you're listening after the fact, you know that we broadcast every Saturday, so we must be here on June the 9th, because that's when this Saturday falls in June. My birthday's in 13 days, ladies and gentlemen.
I've never been able to carry this dude out for his birthday dinner. I've been trying to corral him for years, and we'll have him pinned down to go out for his birthday.
Hey, we went out to Jim's place with Bluto a couple of years ago. Bluto.
Oh, yeah, Bluto. Good old Lee.
Lee was wearing a headband, and
he's the spitting image of Bluto.
If you watch Popeye. Anyway, we did go out. I don't know if that was at my actual birthday, but it was near it. Anyway, third hour is Eddie the Bombardier Miller's hour, typically for many, many years that has been Bombardier Eddie's hour. And we're going to talk to Eddie. Eddie's got a guest that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, we want to talk to Eddie about a couple of other things. Number one, you know, Sam Bushman is an animal. Sam Bushman is a radio beast. And 5 days doing a show Monday through Friday was not enough for Sam. A couple of months ago, he extended his show Liberty Roundtable, libertyroundtable.com, to include Saturdays as well, Saturday mornings. So the man just doesn't stop. Well, today on his Saturday show, Eddie the Bombardier Miller was, in fact, his guest. Yes, indeed. Even the co-host gets some publicity from time to time here on TPC. And, Eddie, you were on Sam's show this morning. Tell us what it was all about. What'd y'all talk about? Very quickly.
I was sitting around talking to the copperhead. All of a sudden, my phone lit up. I said, doggone, this is Sam calling, man. Must be something bad. Well, Sam called. Sam called, said he couldn't find anybody else in the world, not even a space alien to talk to. So he wanted to know if I wanted to come up. And I said, well, yeah, sure. Heck, yeah. It's always an honor to come up with Sam. And it really is. So, Sam, I'll tell you what, James. And James knows this is true. James feels the same way. Of all the living people I know that are live right now on Earth, Sam is right there in the top five of the people I most respect. Well, he called me, and we had some serious stuff. He called me, and we started talking about right off the bat about this Supreme Court decision of this cake baker out in Colorado. And what it was the we've had several situations like this in the recent past, and. This particular cake baker, you're probably all familiar with it. Some homosexual people came onto his shop, and they wanted him to make a cake, especially for them. You know, it would do glorifying, advertising their religion of basically sodomy. I'll just cut to the chase. The other sodomites. Well, the Christian, this so happened the guy that owned the baker shop was a Christian, a hardcore Christian. Now, here's the thing Sam brought up, and he's brilliant at stuff like this. Now, if these homosexuals, people had walked in and wanted to pick out a cake, a cookie, a donut, whatever that the man still had, he already had in stock, he really would have had no moral grounds to turn them down on that. But see, what they wanted to do, they wanted to force him to use his time, his money, and his equipment to make this cake. This totally violates every tenet of his Christian religion. Well, see, and Sam, brilliant that he is, he reversed the tables. He said, we stand solely 100% behind the Christian baker. But here's the deal. Let's just say that homosexuals had a bake shop, and two Christians walked in, and they said, we want you to make us a cake glorifying heterosexual marriage in honor of our God and our Savior, Lord and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we wanted to show with a man and a woman on the wedding cake kissing, not two women and not two men. Well, Sam said he disagrees with the homosexuals, and I agree with Sam wholeheartedly on this. Now, if they walked in, the heterosexuals, and picked out a cake, a cookie, a donut that was already in stock, He would, the bakery owner would have no moral or probably legal grounds to turn them down. But since the heterosexuals wanted to force the homosexuals to bake a cake against his beliefs, the same principles would apply. They would have no right to do that. That's where the Constitution comes in. That's where the laws of nature and laws of nature's God and laws of nature come in. You know, nature's God being the will of God is unfolded in nature as we see, according to Michael Perutka in the American View on Law and Justice. And God, of course, God is He's the one who created nature. But we went on to that. We went on from there and said, you know, we said that we see this basically, it's an attack on Christianity. And, you know, we see it popping up all over the United States. These incidents, now this particular incident may or may not have been already planned. It probably wouldn't. But like me and Sam talked about today, James, in audience, the so-called minorities, your blacks and your homosexuals, which they're really not the minority anymore. The blacks aren't, you know, they're in here in Memphis, Tennessee, they're greatly outnumber us. But they have learned that you can rule here in America, that you can get what you want in any business through fear. Because a lot of these businesses will fold out of fear. Matter of fact, Sam pointed out to this particular bakery shop we're talking this morning, the guy who owns the shop where the homosexuals made such a to-do about it. We went into another story too.
I thought this was going to be like a 60-second recap of the show.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to wind it up.
You're giving us the whole show.
Let me wind this up real quick. Like a black. Okay. Here's another case we talked about. It's morals and constitutional. Black lady walks into a donut shop. Okay, it's the shop closes at 9 o'clock.
This is all this morning on Liberty News Radio Network.
All this morning.
So you've already been on Liberty News this morning.
Yeah. I wear many hats. But anyway, talked to some people today from our dear listeners, but they call me about the St. Jude thing. But anyway, and I always love that. But anyway, black lady walks into the donut shop at 9:06. The place is closed. The employees there who are not the owners, they're temporary employees. They refused to serve her because they said, we're sorry, ma'am, we're closed, we're doing inventory, we're counting money, you know, getting too late. Well, the black lady made a huge to-do and said, and they wouldn't serve her naturally because it was racism and she was black. That if she had been on the other foot, if she had been white, they would have served them. Well, the bakery shop owner was so petrified and so scared, James and dear audience, that he fired. He went overboard, totally overboard. He fired the employees that wouldn't serve them after hours, and even though they've been told to do that in the past. But the point Sam was making is that our people in America, our white people, are operating on such fear. The laws be damned. And I would like to comment, if I get time later on, what Bergen was talking about. And he's spinning his wheels if he thinks anybody's going to go to jail over this stuff that he was talking about that's been revealed. But anyway, that's kind of an aside. But anyway, you can name it right here in Memphis. You see it every day. People quaking in their boots. We have a white mayor taking this Confederate statue down. Business owners going out of business because they're so afraid. I hear the music, people. We're going to have to leave right now. We're going to come back to something else.
Well, when we come back, we'll tell everybody. We left them with a gargantuan cliffhanger, a momentous cliffhanger, Eddie on Netflix. We'll tell you how you can see Eddie for a fraction of a second on Netflix when we come back.
There's two fractions of a second.
I gave you 60 seconds to tell us what you talked to Sam about. You took a whole segment. But it is Eddie.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, so in that first segment, we made mention of the fact that Eddie the Bombardier Miller was a guest on Sam Bushman's Liberty Roundtable show, which has now been extended to Saturdays. And so Eddie was the Saturday morning guest. We asked Eddie for a 60-second recap of that appearance, what he talked about, and it took a whole segment. I don't even think he finished, but work must intrude here. We've got to move on. Netflix. I got a picture from Eddie, a screenshot from Eddie on text message, and instantly I recognized Eddie in the screen, and I knew it was Netflix because I'm a Netflix account holder. And it's at the 12-minute, 52-second mark of this documentary entitled White Right, : Meeting the Enemy. White Right, Meeting the Enemy. That means if you're white, you're an enemy. And if you're right, you're an enemy. White Right, Meeting the Enemy. You can't be white or right and be anything other than an enemy, obviously. White Right, Meeting the Enemy. White is always bad, and right is always bad, and if you're white right, you are most certainly bad. White Right, Meeting the Enemy. It's a documentary on Netflix. I was hoping that Eddie, I assumed that it was Eddie himself who sent me this picture, but Eddie received it from Matt the Copperhead.
Right.
So
right.
Matt the Copperhead was the one who captured this screenshot, and I haven't seen the documentary, nor has Eddie, so we're not going to be able to tell you very much about it. I assumed Eddie had actually seen this, but nevertheless, what it is, White Right, Meeting the Enemy, I think you probably understand what it's all about. It's a hit piece, an attack piece, a hate piece against whites. But in this particular scene, at least what judging from the screenshot here, and I should tweet this out, I guess. Maybe I'll tweet it out. You've got Eddie. Eddie is wearing a short sleeve button down dress shirt. I love that look on you, Eddie. Not many people can pull it off, but what it is it's dressy, but it keeps you cool on a hot day.
That's right.
And it was a hot day on August 12th in Charlottesville in more ways than one. Now, Eddie was an officially designated member of the press. He had his press credentials there.
So proud of that.
And he was there to observe and report, as he did. And we had a fantastic show that evening, hours after that rally was foiled by the government and the law enforcement of that state of Virginia. But there, yes, indeed, 12-minute and 52 seconds into the documentary on Netflix, White Right, Meeting the Enemy, you see a picture of Eddie. And Eddie is there Well, you've seen the picture.
With my lanyard. Yeah, well, I had my genuine press credentials. I'm so proud of
I thought you'd be able to tell us what this show was all about, but you can't even do that. So we actually don't know how long Eddie is featured in this. We just have the screenshot.
Well, you know, I got interviewed up there, and, of course, I had to cook. I said, James Edwards, yeah, I was on his show one time, but, you know, I don't agree with any of that stuff. You know, yeah, he's a racist, you know, and I'm a Southern Baptist, and, you know, I'm a Judeo-Christian. And so, yeah, I try to salvage some of those. No, you know what? I don't remember a whole lot about it. The Copperhead was saying, hey, did you see this chick up there? She was kind of looked like an Indian or something, you know, and she was wearing these fatigues, carrying a big camera around. I said, man, at the time, son, man, all hell was breaking loose, and there was a lot of people there, hundreds of people. I couldn't remember just one of them, but I think I might have remembered her. He said she was a Pakistani, one of the people doing the interviewing. By the way, our brother Jared Taylor was on there, too. He came on the I did see part of it.
Wait, now you have seen it. What are we talking about here?
Just a flick.
Do you have Netflix?
No, we're talking about the bakery, man. No, I was just kidding with you, man. I ain't been drinking yet. No. there was a trailer, and it was Jared Taylor talking in the trailer. About a minute or so, and I've never seen
it. Well, maybe I'm on here. I got to watch this thing. Yeah, I better be on here. I'm gonna take offense that Netflix, if the Southern Baptist Convention can target me out of 15 million members, surely Netflix would do it.
Well, they had you on there. You were in Russell Moore in the pool hall. Y'all were shooting pool, training the guy.
They caught me.
Y'all were shooting pool, planning the next extravaganza with the Southern Baptist, man. Yeah, James had cooked big time, y'all. But, yeah, him and Russell Moore, I think y'all are first cousins, really.
Little Russ.
Yeah, we had a good time up there. The Copperhead sent me that. And I guess
so bottom line is, all we know is that you – can be seen in this documentary, White Right Meeting the Enemy, but we don't know for how long. We don't know who else that we may know is on there. You think Jared's on there.
Yeah, I look like a nerd with this thing here. I had on my fancy brand new dress pants, my fancy brand new button-down white shirt, my fancy brand new. I had never worn these press credentials
before. I think you brought you took that shirt. You bought that shirt for that particular field assignment. That shirt was clean and pressed. And dressed for success, but it came back with feces, urine, and what else came back on that shirt?
It had, you know what, there
paint.
There was pepper spray, yeah, there was paint, there was I don't know where they got that, they had to get that CS. If you've ever smelled CS gas, people, you'll never forget it. The Antifa had the CS gas up there, they had to have gotten it from the government outlet somewhere, but they you name it, it was there.
And it was on your shirt.
Yes, it was, and it would burn my arm. You know what saved
you're gonna
me?
Bring, did you bring that shirt to the cesspool conference?
I it's kind of in a trophy case now.
All right, we got a caller, but I want to quickly. It's in a trophy case. All right. Oh, okay. No, it's our guest caller, so we're gonna get to him in the next segment. I thought it was the Copperhead himself. We've got a guest caller named Matt
the Confederate.
We got Matt the Copperhead, who is a right-thinking white man from north of the Mason-Dixon line. We got Matt the Confederate, who is obviously, and when you hear his voice, you'll know he's a Confederate because his southern drawl makes us sound like Yankees.
We'll just say he's from the South because people that are not our friends don't need to know where he lives.
Setting an example. Now, we're talking about the media. Eddie had a couple of bursts of publicity today on Netflix and on the Sam show. With regard to my ability here to weather the lying media's constant sniping, Jared Taylor, who you just mentioned, once said this, quote, they, the media, he's talking about, come down on you about as heavily as I've ever seen them come down on anybody. And I must say, this is Jared Taylor speaking, who's no stranger to media. You, James, handle it impeccably. You never flinch. You never turn back. You never apologize because, of course, you have nothing to apologize for. And anyone who can stand up in the face of that kind of attack and come back for more is a great example to the rest of us. A recent attendee at American Renaissance added, quote, your radio program has always been right on and has had a great deal of popularity with conservatism, even to the point of being quasi-mainstreamed. It's quite incredible, really. To both of those men's very generous statement, I would say, quite frankly, they are correct. I take my duties very seriously, and I never want to offer anything less than the best to my listening audience. It is with a care and great sense of responsibility that I take my stand here on the airwaves. Now, it's never easy. That goes without saying, and more media attacks are immediately forthcoming. I think the SPLC is going to write a story about my situation with the Southern Baptist Convention. Let them come. These attacks are regular. Let them come in the days ahead. But rest assured, however, ladies and gentlemen in our listening audience, that I will meet all comers head on with the same good-natured defiance that has always been a hallmark of my public activism.
That's because you're Quasi, man. Quasimodo. We'll call you Quasi. That's your new nickname, Quasi.
Well, we're quasi-mainstream, so said our friend at American Renaissance. Not Jared, but one of the attendees. I would say this, though, with regard to our whole team here. As we soldier on, it is my sincere hope that the fine people of this listening audience who appreciate our efforts will support our work. Now, you know that our second quarter fundraising drive just kicked off last week. Last week, we're a week into it. We got a couple of weeks to go. If you support our work, if you enjoy our work, support our show, make a contribution to the political cesspool. Your prayerful support is also extremely valuable. But if you want to make a contribution of $100 or more, as we announced last week, make that contribution tonight. Ken up in New York. Ken, I know you're listening because you're tweeting to me right now. You're tuned in live every week, and I love you. You are a loyal supporter, and there's so many more like you out there. $100 or more before June the 30th. But tonight's okay, too. You don't have to wait till June the 30th. I think we made that clear last week. You're going to receive an autographed copy of Michael Hill's book, Dr. Michael Hill's book, Celtic Warfare, for a contribution of $100 or more before the end of the month. Tonight or any day before June the 30th, $100 or more. Dr. Michael Hill's book, autographed Celtic Warfare. Make a contribution tonight for any amount that is comfortable for you, $25, $50, $100 or more.
Pappy needs a new pair of shoes.
Oh, you scared me. You came in so loud in my headset.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll be back with more right after this, but please keep us in mind. Eddie's guest is coming up next.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us now for the remainder of the program tonight a dear friend of ours, a young man who came to our event, our anniversary party in Memphis last October, and we'll refer to him as Matt the Confederate, and he is certainly that and much more. Have a great deal of respect for this fella, and Eddie wanted to bring him on the show tonight. And so what I'm going to do here is basically bow out for all intents and purposes. I am going to continue to take the show in and out of our commercial breaks until we hit the wall this evening and bid you adieu until next week. But for the rest of the show, it's going to be Eddie and Matt. And Eddie, I'll let you give Matt a little bit better introduction, and then y'all can talk about whatever you want to talk about for the rest of the show, because I know you've got something good planned.
Will do.
You're welcome, Matt.
I'm really honored to bring this young man on. I haven't known him that long. I've known him since August. Matter of fact, he rode to Charlottesville with me. I rode to Charlottesville with him. And he's also a dear friend of Rich Hamblin, who is a big, big friend of the Political Cesspool and a dear brother of mine. And listen, the young man is like a lion, and I do say he's young. I want to start bringing more young people on, more young blood, people we hadn't heard of before, but they have quick, very quick minds. But anyway, with that, Matt the Confederate, we're not going to give all the information about you too, because we want to keep you safe.
Thank you.
But you come on, tell us about what you've been doing the last couple of weeks, and then we'll get right into the subject. I think the subject matters, and we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to take off from what me and Sam was talking about today. We're going to talk about the Constitution some.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show, James and Eddie. And thank you for those wonderful words you said about my accent. I really appreciate that. So let me start out with a quote from the Constitution, one of our founding fathers. He said, "Do not separate text from historical background. If you do, you will have perverted and subverted the Constitution, which can only end in a distorted, bastardized form of illegitimate government." James Madison said that. Now, I kind of want to come back around full circle back to the talk about the clergy, because I have another quote from the Constitution, a founding father, and this one is our hero, Thomas Jefferson. Okay? So they see, because religious belief or non-belief is such an important part of every person's life, freedom of religion affects every individual. State churches that use government power to support themselves and force their views on persons of other faiths undermine all of our civil rights. Moreover, state support of the church tends to make the clergy unresponsive to the people and leads to corruption within religion. In the first hour, y'all had a guest named Tom on, and he talked about, many people probably didn't catch it, but he said that not only are the pastors lazy, but they are not interacting with the people. And that quote, I thought about that quote here. You know, it says, moreover, state support of the church tends to make the clergy unresponsive to the people and leads to corruption within religion. That's Thomas Jefferson saying that. Now, every rally we've had, we went to Charlottesville. I saw in the newspapers, Bombardier, I don't know if you remember this or not, but didn't they say that all the pastors there that they could get out of the streets, these types of soothsaying pastors, Episcopalians, sects, they had one was Episcopalian, I remember, and they had them come out, and they were doing a protest rally and doing a parade the day before Charlottesville ever happened. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And Matt, maybe it's just a rhetorical question, but James always loved to say rhetorical, so I guess I'll say it. If there was one single pastor that spoke in favor of the Constitution, in favor of our God-given rights to go up there and hold a peaceful demonstration, I'm not aware of them. I think they were all against us to the band, weren't they, Matt?
Most of them, and it seems that what's more impressive to me is every city, any rally we've gone to, Shelbyville, they found some kook pastors out of Nashville who came out of the woodwork and wrote articles against us about how we're not going to be. I remember one specifically talked about how he was the churchy of the churchy, and we're not going to out-church him or out-religious him with the Bible. And I sent him a lengthy letter explaining to him James 4:11 about how you don't slander other brothers in Christ. And I invited him to more discourse on this, and I'll tell you, he didn't accept the invitation at all. These people are suddenly disappearing when they're confronted with any type of truth. But, you know, what James was talking about last week, I think the pastors and the clergy have fallen away because, one, it's like James Madison said, they've taken the context out of the scriptures. All they do is use the scriptures themselves without the historical and meaningful context. The other group of pastors are the other type, and they're the ones who are actually being almost like paid supporters of the regime who are against us. And they're the ones that Thomas Jefferson says are going to turn out to be against the people. Now, in James's particular situation, he quoted last week Matthew chapter 18, and he talked about if Christians have an issue with one another. And the problem with using that passage is that you got to be a Christian, first of all, to deal with another Christian here. But when the Bible talks about issues, Matthew is talking about sin. He says sin, okay?
I'm following
you. But later on in Scripture, if you use the context of other Scriptures to talk about what's really happening here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the church, and he says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who have done this be removed from among you." That is sin. That is an issue that Matthew chapter 18 is talking about. It's talking about sin. It's not talking about you don't like this person's opinions. You don't like this person's attitudes. You don't like this person's what flavor of tea they like. Okay, but we'll
exactly
get
right.
Even
you know,
further. Yes.
Oh, I was just going to comment. Speaking of the show that we had last week, and James's pastor brought forth another point that you just hit on, Matt. And he brought the what's going on right now, what we call the politics of destruction. And anytime you know nowadays, you see it. It's really scary to me. That I see it in Midtown. A lot of the people I run with, they're left-wing wackos. That's just the way it just seemed like most runners are kind of to the left. But they're not satisfied to disagree with a Republican or, you know, if they were or the vice versa. If you disagree with them, and for instance, a lot of them don't like Trump, for instance. They're not satisfied to try to beat you at the ballot box. They want to kill you. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy your livelihood, your ability to make a living. They want to destroy your social life, to drum you out of the church, drum you out of politics. I think that's one of the things you just referred to, and James's pastor did. He coined that phenomenon as the politics of destruction, personal destruction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Thomas Jefferson was warning us about it. That was the whole issue with separation of church and state. They wanted to put all churches on a plane and make them all equal to each other. Not that one would rise up with their own personal views against people's rights and freedoms. And I mean genuine rights and freedoms of the Constitution. I think in James' situation, yeah.
Well, let me just briefly comment there. You know, the phrase, and I'm sure you know this, the phrase separation of church and state never appears anywhere in the Declaration of Independence, doesn't appear anywhere in the Constitution of the United States. It's not really in any document that we know of that any of the founding fathers wrote, except for the letter of Thomas Jefferson to the Banbury, I think that's the name of the Banbury Baptists. The Baptists were afraid that we were going to have something happen in the Congress. They were afraid that the Congress were going to, you know, show favor to this one particular church. But Jefferson wrote them, told them, you know, they would never have to worry about that. There was a wall of separation between the government and the churches. And it's also, as you know, Matt, It's in it echoed in the First Amendment of the Constitution when it says the First Amendment. I'll paraphrase it. I don't have my Constitution with me, but it says that the government shall write no. And I'm gonna paraphrase it. The government shall write no law, pass no law that favors one religion over another, nor prevents the free exercise thereof. So really, you know, you're actually Jefferson was right. The United States government, the state government, no government should fund any church. And matter of fact, the Second Amendment prohibits that, the funding, and also prohibits the free exercise thereof. Let me shut up and go right back to you because you're doing a fabulous job.
Well, I was going to continue on, and there is a passage in Scripture that really applies to what James' situation is, what's going on with him, and I want.
We're going to the music now, Matt. We're going to have to bring you right back to hear the commercial. We've got to pay some bills. We'll bring you right back out of the commercial, son.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, I guess we're back now, folks. We got Matt the Confederate back up, and he's having I wish we had more time to do this. Matt, I tell you what, why don't you refer to a scripture that applies specifically to James's situation. And for the respective time, why don't you cover that scripture, and then if you want to, we can shift over to the Constitution with the last segment that we got.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just saying there is one situation in scriptures that seems to apply to what is happening to James. And I want these pastors that might be listening to really pay attention, because Jesus gave a parable, and he said he put another parable before them in Matthew chapter 13, saying the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. So the issue with James, and this is, I'm not calling James wheat at all, or weeds at all. But what I am going to say is, if he's a thorn in their side, and they think he's a weed, even Jesus himself said, it's not your job as a pastor to go and tear the weeds out of the field. Why? Because it could hurt the wheat and damage the actual good plants. So they're completely going about it all wrong with him, and not living according to the scriptures. And, I mean, James 4:11 pretty much sums it up. It just says, brothers, do not slander other brothers in Christ. So
I'm praying
for James, and I'm praying for the SBC, but I'm going to tell you, we're all going to stick with God on this, because Bombardier, when are people going to start standing up for right in general? I mean, Matthew 7:6, he talks about don't cast your pearls before swine. That's another verse that they use out of context a lot. It doesn't mean don't witness to people. It means don't compromise what you have. You have the pearl of great price as a Christian. Why would you compromise with Satan? Satan has nothing to lose.
I would never debate with you on anything scriptural, because you're light years ahead of me. But in answer to your question, I don't look for people to stand up in mass, because you know what? If you look back in history, they never have. Just going back in relatively recent history, the First War of Independence, 1776, really had not that long ago, and approximately it was only 3 to 5% of the colonists stood up to fight the British then. You know, the Second War of Independence, when the Yankees invaded the South, in the beginning, there wasn't that many people. They had to get a draft going in the North. I don't look for it. And I'll borrow a phrase from one of my heroes, Sam Dixon. I was at a conference once, and he said something like this. He said, people come and ask me, when are people going to stand up? He said the same thing you did, Matt. When things are getting worse and worse and worse. And Sam replied to his friend, he says, and I'll never forget it, he said, when things get so bad that they have nothing, once they have nothing left to lose, when their kids' bellies are swelling from lack of food, when they're kicked out of their homes, when they can't get purchased food or gasoline, then and only then will these people that are spoiled be ready to get out and actually lift a finger to do something. And he said, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, as for me, I say let the bad times roll so we can get it done. But then well, the problem is people will be so broke, they'll be helpful. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
It just really burns me up that it seems to be one of the scourges of white people in general. And white Western civilization, we always retreat and start something else. Okay, and you know, I come, I'm actually an Eagle Scout, and I was in the Boy Scouts of America, and I saw this pattern of the communists and evils attacking the Boy Scouts of America, and slowly infiltrating it. And you know, and at the end of it all, like when they accept these homosexuals into the organization and open their arms to all this transgender stuff. What happened? You had a whole group of white people who started talking about, let's create a new institution. So they create this thing like called trail life or something. And I'm not knocking trail life, but that's not the answer. There was nothing wrong with the Boy Scouts of America. We don't need to retreat and create something else. We need to take a stand. We need to draw the line. One gentleman asked me, what is y'all's goal after Charlottesville? We were sitting down having a meeting. He's like, what is your goal? And I just said, we're the line in the sand. We're not crossing it anymore. And that's it. I mean, I just wish people would stand with us on this.
I wish they would, too. You know, Matt, I had no idea you were Eagle Scout. I had no idea. I knew that you went to a Christian school. And you know, I put your Bible knowledge up against about anybody I know. But what I respect about you most, and you've heard me say this, and I'm not blowing hot air, I love your intangibles, the intangibles you have, and I love your sincerity. Like some of the people will say, you can have the knowledge up here pointing to my head, but it's no good if you don't have it in your heart. And Matt, the Confederate, has it in your heart. Well, Matt, I don't know how much time we have left. We got about 5 minutes. Would you like, I know I'm kind of a constitutionalist. I know its weaknesses. I know you point out the weaknesses. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
All right.
As briefly and concisely as you can, and you're doing a wonderful job, what do you think are the pros of the Constitution and what are its weaknesses? Tell us about that. We talked about that before.
Right. The pros, obviously, I think the holdout for the Bill of Rights was a very strong pro. It's actually one thing that has allowed us to keep the freedoms we have as long as we did. Notice I'm not saying we still have those freedoms, but there was people that wanted to pass it without a Bill of Rights, and then there were people like George Mason who wanted or demanded a Bill of Rights, who just saw it as a document that was going to lead to tyranny without something like that even in it. So that's our strong suit on it, is we have the top, the Bill of Rights that protect all these freedoms on a basic level for the humans. But the cons, let's see. I think I've got it boiled down to they didn't identify strong enough religious foundations. I think they really failed in that regard. I think a lot of the founding fathers weren't necessarily Christian. They had Christian mentality. They were Christianized, but I don't know that a lot of them were actually Christian. But in general, I think they basically created a document lacking of a lot of religious. But they wanted that. They wanted religion on a plane below the government, really. So that's really a big negative, in my opinion. Also, I think that the negative is they didn't make it as concrete as they could have. They kind of made an elastic clause or whatever with it that it could be amended. So,
Matt, would you say that we strayed, when the pilgrims, when they came from England, first they went to Holland, and then after 8 years they came to the United States, and then later on the Puritans came, I believe in that order. And, for instance, we talked about, you and I think have talked about the Mayflower Compact before, and the various constitutions, the New York Constitution, the Georgia, the North Carolina, et cetera, Virginia, the Mayflower Compact. And I don't have it with me, but I'll paraphrase it. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you some questions about you. We got 2 minutes left. So I got to make this really fast. The Mayflower Compact, just to sum it up, it said that these people came over here for the greater glory of Jesus Christ. We want to come over here on this new continent and spread the gospel to the heathen, to the savage, to make a great country for the greater power of Jesus Christ. And most of all these documents that I'm aware of, the term Jesus Christ, the name Jesus Christ was mentioned. Matt, I think what you're saying is, get me if I'm wrong, are you saying that idea did not get translated from the Mayflower Compact, from the Pilgrims and the Puritans, onto our founding documents? Is that what you're saying?
I would agree. I think our founding fathers, while they were Christianized, they had a Christian foundations. Christianity inundated their personal culture and environment, and they were good men. I think a lot of them wanted to leave religion as a sub-level of our culture, and I mean that in all respect. They wanted religion to not ever get into taking over our political system, one sect over another. They didn't want the religious wars they'd seen in Europe. And so they tried to create it. You can talk, I read a lot about their quotes from the Founding Fathers. They just wanted a lot of equality with the religious sects and denominations.
Well, I'll throw this in there. You know, you mentioned Madison, who was there. Well, it looks like we've run out of time, Matt. I really appreciate you being on tonight, and I really appreciate the privilege of being on the Political Stuff tonight. I'm going to hand it back to you, James.
All right, thank you, Matt. All I got to say is thank you, Matt. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the example you set, and you're a great friend of the program and a great friend to both of us and to our entire audience by extension.
Thanks for coming on, Matt.
We'll see you next week.